from executive producer Jimmy Kimmel.
What's up, team? Just two people can't launch a brand. It takes a village.
We are MMD Hollywood.
Wowee.
Which stands for medical marijuana.
Due to restrictions, we can't tell you everything about our new reality series. But what we can say is the idea behind it is fully baked.
I don't know.
High hopes. Streaming 420 on Hulu.
All right, here it comes.
It's Ben and Woods.
Try to say this nicely. When you look at Ben, Paul, and I, it doesn't scream athlete.
With Ben Higgins.
Bicka, bicka, bow, 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 bicka, bow, bow, bump, bump, what, ha, 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 ha. On your mark, ready, set, let's go.
And Stephen Woods.
I want to win. I want to win at all costs. I really do. Other than, you know, lying, cheating, and stealing, I don't want to do that, but whatever it takes to win, I'm willing to do.
Ben and Woods.
Blame it on the Henry.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Yeah!
Hour number three of Ben and Woods, Tuesday morning. Don't do this coming up this hour.
Are you a student of history, Woods? You seem like you're a history guy.
I do like history a lot, actually.
So do you know what happened 50 years ago today?
I do. We walked on the moon.
Not quite. We launched the mission that walked on the moon.
All right. But, you always Apollo, gotta one-up me.
Apollo 11 launched. They didn't actually get to the moon until 4 days from now, 50 years ago. So
all right.
That'll come up later in this week. But it got me thinking this morning. That was a moment in human history where, like, everyone was watching around the TV, something great happening. And
somebody,
like,
would have complained about it on Twitter.
Is that what would have happened?
Yeah. Like, I mean, you got to remember, like, there was no social media. There was some dad sitting in his family room with a glass of scotch going, what a waste of money. Guaranteed. Like, there was probably more than one. Like, what a joke. What do we need to be on the moon for? Like, nothing. There's nothing. I haven't seen anything that will unite everyone, except for Tatis Jr. He's the only one I see that unites everyone. And you just can't hate the kid. So he's really the only one.
Yeah, I was trying to think, has there been any stories lately where we've all been able to, like, get behind something positive that happened, you know, with the human race that we can all agree on and that's great and happy?
Nothing comes to mind. Like, there were some people stuck in a mine, and we got them all out. I believe we got them all out. That's pretty good, but I'm sure you had the guy somewhere.
Chilean mine.
Yeah, Chilean mine. I'm sure there was some guy that said, stupid them for being down in the mine in the first place. I mean, just the devolvement of humanity lately it's staggering. And if you let it get to you, and I do sometimes, it can eat you up inside.
I think it would be very difficult to be Andy Green right now if you had a thin skin and big ears.
Yeah.
If you were hearing all the criticism, because even on my vacation, some of that percolated up to me, how unhappy fans were as the Padres were getting swept by the Atlanta Braves over the weekend. But I'm still not exactly sure what the criticism specifically of Andy Green is. I hear a lot about managing the bullpen.
Yep.
Doing a poor job of that. But I still don't have any specifics. I even tweeted out while, you know, as they were blowing one of the leads, whether it was Saturday or Sunday, I forget, said, why doesn't Andy Green just ask his relievers before the game which ones are going to be terrible and then not use the guys who say yes? He doesn't know which guys are going to get the job done and which aren't, which makes it kind of an impossible situation that he gets in the seventh and eighth innings.
I'll tell you, man, there's a lot of blame going around. I see the most unquestionably going to Andy Green. Okay, Andy Green is number one. If we're playing the blame game here on Ben and Woods, I wish we had some game show music. It's the blame game here on Ben and Woods. Number one across the board is Andy Green, period, the end. Number two, there we go. It's time for the blame game on Ben and Woods. Number one, Andy Green. That's it. Number two, I see ownership. Which, to me, I have a hard time getting behind that one. I saw somebody yesterday say, Manny Machado, the signing of Manny Machado was a facade. $300 million facade? You couldn't have done. Mike Moustakas would have been a facade. $300 million in 10 years for one of the best players in the game is not a facade. All right? And then third, I see A.J. Preller, the guy that actually constructs the team that Andy Green has to manage. And really, the AJ slander is very limited. I mean, very, very limited. You're not seeing a lot of people wearing an Andy Green We Trust shirt. And I get that. I do understand that. And I do think, Ben, I think he had a rough series to start the second half. It was a rough series, especially Saturday night.
Well, to me, if we're playing the blame game, I think the blame for the fact that the Padres don't have a winning record right now and could be at least a few games above 500 goes to the bullpen, the guys who are actually out there and not getting the job done. Second, I would say the guy who put together the bullpen, A.J. Preller, and has put together some good ones in the past, didn't have his best effort this offseason, apparently. Got a little too thin, you know, moving Matt Strom into the rotation, left the bullpen a little vulnerable after an injury or two early, and the Padres couldn't recover from that. And that goes, you know, it's somewhat unavoidable, and it also goes to the general manager that you got to have layers and backup plans, and when you run out of guys, someone's got to take some responsibility for that. After that, Andy Green would even tell you himself. He told us last Friday, told Dennis Lynn, told Bryce Miller in the UT, I'll wear some of the mistakes I've made that have cost us games in the first half of the season. Every manager does cost his team some games with decisions. Every manager wins some games with decisions. The criticism that I find interesting, though, and something that Andy Green does a little differently than other managers, and this is, again, part of that piece from Dennis Lynn in The Athletic, is that you ask other organizations, and they say, Andy Green really manages aggressively during games, more so than most managers. It almost feels like a playoff game when Andy Green is managing. He goes to his bullpen early. He will do double switches. He will go to pinch hitters early when he's got an opportunity
to cash in, drive runs.
And that sometimes leaves him vulnerable in extra innings, as it did on Saturday night against the Braves when he ran out of pinch hitters and had to have Luis Perdomo up there with the bases loaded in the 10th inning. That can be avoided by being more conservative during games. So, Padres fans, I want to hear from you. Would you like to see Andy Green dial it back, be a little more conservative and boring as a manager, as opposed to the guy who is maybe trying too hard to win games?
He does try hard to win games. He also tries hard to protect, you know, the young arms. And I know people get tired, especially old school guys, get tired of, hey, well, I saw Nolan Ryan throwing, you know, Randy Jones throwing 400 innings a game. It's not the game anymore. You're not going to see it ever again. I can promise you this
right
now.
Ben Woods criticizing us for talking about 7 Mile Casino.
Right.
That's part of our job.
It's part of our job.
If we didn't do it, we'd get fired.
Exactly.
If Andy Green didn't protect his young arms, you know what he'd be? Fired.
He'd be Dusty Baker.
He'd be fired.
Is what
yes,
he would be.
He'd be out of a job. So
I understand being
it's
hesitant.
It's tough to criticize Andy Green for protecting young arms when it has been handed down from above, you must protect our young arms, even at the cost of losing games sometimes.
Yeah.
You can't let these guys go beyond 85, 90 pitches, even if they've only thrown 5 innings. You have to take them out at this point. It's like, Andy Green, terrible manager. Well, it's either that or he gets fired because he's not doing what his bosses are telling him to do.
Well, I said it yesterday. You know, people were – I saw a guy on Twitter when Wengener gave it up to Freddie Freeman – you know, oh man, that he left him in one batter too long. Well, if you're trying to define roles for your team, right? And that's something I think every manager wants. Like when you watch for lack of a better team, the New York Yankees, you know, one guy's in the seventh, one guy's in the eighth, and Chappie's in the ninth. That's it. You just know that's the deal. Chapman gave up a 3-run homer yesterday after putting the first two guys on, lost the game. Is that on Aaron Boone? No, it's on Aroldis Chapman. Period. The end. That's his role. He didn't get the job done. And if Trey Wingener is going to be your eighth inning guy, that's his role. Had he pulled Wingener, people would have gotten, you know, on his ass about, well, I thought that was Trey's role. I thought he was going to be our eighth inning guy. It's just, look, the thing is this. When you're Andy Green, you catch a ton of grief when you lose, and you don't get any praise when you win. None.
Chris tweets in Lone Star Friar, hard to fault Andy for bad bullpen pitching, but burning the bench and needing a relief pitcher to bat with the game on the line in the 10th falls on him.
100%.
Of course it does.
Yeah, in the 10th, not the 15th, the 16th.
You can say, don't pull Will Myers and don't put him out as a defensive replacement in the 7th inning for Franmil Reyes, which is a valid talk. Now, if they lose the game because Franmil can't run down a fly ball in the 8th inning with the bases loaded and 2 outs, you'd probably go, Andy, why didn't you put your better defensive outfielder out there with a game on the line and a chance to win it right there? It's you never know how you're going to lose the game. And Andy Green has tried to be very aggressive. You know, going to Kirby Yates for two innings on Saturday, I was thinking at the time, in a game they didn't even win, boy, that's gonna come back to bite them.
I thought so too. But the other thing, and then it jumped into my head, and I was talking to a guy on Twitter about it. I go, man, listen, like if you're gonna, okay, first of all, Ben, if you're gonna do that, then if you say I need six outs, don't put Gerardo Reyes out to start the inning, right? To walk the guy that's gonna come around and give Kirby the blown save. If you're gonna let Kirby do it, give him the clean inning, correct? Like we can all agree with that. Number two, who else in that bullpen do you trust to get outs? Who do you trust in that bullpen? You say, hey, man, I know when I put this cat. Last year it was Craig Stammen. You knew Craig Stammen was going to get through the seventh, the eighth, whatever. And now Kirby Yates is the only guy I trust. I'd probably be running the guy out there for nine out saves. At this point, I need to win a ball game. At some point.
Hey, the starter, you got two outs. Let's see if Kirby can get the final 25.
Yeah, let's see if Kirby can do it because he's the only guy I trust. Who do you trust? You don't trust Trey. You don't. Wick's gone. You don't trust Erlen. You don't trust Perdomo. I mean, it's a dumpster fire of a bullpen. Name the best manager you've ever seen manage. Who's the best you've ever seen?
Best manager I've ever seen.
Bochy. Bochy could
Boch
not.
Bochy is certainly high on the list.
I mean, what would Boch do with that bullpen? He'd scratch his head and, you know, kick the dirt because that's what they have right now. Guys that aren't getting the job done.
Let me just sneak in quickly. Manny in South Bay. We haven't talked to him in a while, and he wants to talk a little Padres baseball.
Let's go.
Manny, welcome to Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Hey, what's going on, boys?
What's
love
up?
It every morning.
Thanks,
listen to you
brother.
Guys all the time. Hey. Andy Green, to me, is the manager of the year. Now, let's keep it real. He might not be around. He might not be around next season, but he's letting us and letting the front office see what kind of talent we have now. We're not going to be able to make any kind of playoff this season. So next season is where we're going to push from start to finish. I think the second half is we got to see what we have, who can step up, and whoever can will be here next season.
Yep.
I hate to see Reyes go, but if he can't step up and catch fly balls, he won't be here either, man. Let's go, Padres.
Let's go get him.
Thanks, Manny. I mean, at some point, also, you can be too soft on the manner. I'm trying to find that balance.
It's hard to have a balance.
I hate criticizing someone unreasonably and unfairly, which I think Andy Green has taken some unfair criticism. At the same time, you can't just give him a free pass, you know, the entire season. If the Padres, you know, go in a slide here in the second half,
yeah,
you got to be able to figure out a way to get them out of it, too.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And, you know, I don't know that Rod Barajas is the answer. I don't know that Joe Maddon is the answer. I really don't. I scratch my head, too, because it is hard to be fair and unbalanced. And I don't want to be the guy that just, oh, he lost, they got swept, he's got to go. Fire him.
Hey, good news, everybody. Coach John Quintero will be broadcasting live from opening day at the Del Mar Races tomorrow from the Plaza, noon to 3 p.m. So stop by, say hi to the coach while you're there. Stop by and sign up to be our biggest fan. Your chance to win a Las Vegas road trip, all from 97.3 The Fan. Don't Do This is coming up next, Woodsy. And I have one that I've never seen before, an umpire that made a decision so bad that the other team was trying to talk him out of it.
It's incredible. Also, a broadcast team getting in kind of a little bit of an argument on the air. Really good audio coming up next.
That's coming up next.
Don't do this.
I got a little surprise for you, you know what I'm saying?
Don't do this.
Listen, if I've said something bad, I mean, tell me I'm a bad boy. You know, just tell me I'm a bad boy.
Why? Just why?
I get the argument. You don't have to explain it to me. I'm not a moron.
Let me tell you why I am a dumbass.
It's time for Don't Do This.
Don't do this.
On 97.3 The Fan.
You want to get us started, Benny, or you want me to?
Usually, is it not? Are we not sponsored? Oh, well, then I can just remind everyone that we've got our biggest fan contest coming up in the next 30 minutes. Be listening for your name to call sometime between now and right around 7:52. We will announce the name, and someone's going to win a pair of tickets to the Padres-Orioles game coming up on July 29th. And if you call in, you'll be entered into our grand prize drawing for that Vegas Shania Twain road trip. So keep listening for your name to be called for the biggest fan contest. Next 30 minutes. Now you can start.
I will go first, man. Yeah, you hear this story yesterday. Giants cornerback Cameron Moore has been suspended pending further investigation. He was arrested in an alleged domestic violence case in New Jersey last week. The details of this case came out, though. The criminal complaint, the victim had been dating Moore since they met in January. She was near his home in Linden and texted him to say she was in the area. He did not respond, so she went to his house. And another woman confronted her when she pulled up. Not great. All right. The two women started fighting. So he runs towards them. He watched them fight for a little bit. And then the victim fell to the ground. Moore put his foot on her neck and applied pressure. The victim got up and yelled at him. And at that point, he punched her in the face. And she then blacked out. Friend took her to the hospital. She was treated for bruising, swelling, and abrasions. He was charged with third-degree aggravated assault. His attorney says the allegations are baseless. So I don't know how you could figure that they are baseless when he stood on her neck.
That's a horrible story.
It's terrible.
I want to ask this question, though. Have you ever had two women fighting over you? Because I know I haven't.
No.
No. Okay.
I don't think, not like an actual.
Just checking.
Not like an actual physical.
Sometimes
I think
Woods
I would like
surprise
that.
Me.
I would like that. There's part of me that would like that.
I thought that
don't do this.
So yeah. We'll see what happens with him. It's the NFL, so I'm guessing nothing.
All right, so here's what I've got. I've got an umpire's decision that was so bad.
This is so
that
good.
The team that benefited from it was actually arguing like, come on, man, that was
it's
ridiculous.
So, good.
So I was actually watching this. I didn't see many sports over the weekend, but the Dodgers were pounding the Phillies yesterday. By the eighth inning, it got to 12-1 after Phillies reliever Yaxel Rios allowed a couple of doubles and a home run to Alex Verdugo. The next batter was Justin Turner. Justin Turner, who may crowd the plate as much or more than any batter in baseball history. I mean, the guy's knee is usually like on the inside corner. His back foot is behind the line.
They've got the two. They've got Bellinger from the left side
yeah.
and Turner from the right side. It's impossible to pitch to those guys.
Yes, the timing is, you know, suspicious. You give up a home run and a la Rick Vaughn in Major League, you drill the next guy. You can go get him now.
Let's see how he responds.
In this case, it was a slider from, I believe, a lefty pitcher to a righty batter.
It was a righty still.
Righty
pitcher. It was a righty on righty.
Well, whatever it was an 84-mile-an-hour pitch. It wasn't a fastball. It kind of didn't break or leaked a little inside, you know, banged off of Turner's knee, basically, and he started walking to first base. The umpire, though, jumps out, Doug Eddings, and immediately ejects the pitcher, Yaxel Rios. Even Justin Turner was taken aback. Justin Turner, who just got hit, started kind of pleading toward the umpire, saying, oh, come on, he wasn't trying to hit me there. That was nothing. That wasn't even a hard pitch. Are you kidding me?
It was an example, again, of the ump show. The ump show was in full effect. It was a slider that just got away and hit him in the back of the leg. You had Jock Peterson standing at the top of the dugout. Dodger, Jock Peterson, his teammate just wore one in the knee after a bomb and two doubles. And he's looking at the umpire with his hands up going, it was a slider. It was a breaking ball. You never see that.
I mean, Gabe Kapler was out arguing his manager of the Phillies right alongside Justin Turner.
He said, so Justin, this is the best part. So Justin Turner walks down to first. He's laughing. Like, come on, dude, you can't run him for that. And you see Gabe Kapler go, Justin, Justin. He's calling to an opposing player to, like, have his back. And I think there's a bigger picture here. And the bigger picture is the players are getting tired of the ump show in Major League Baseball. There was no reason for that guy to get thrown out. None whatsoever.
So Doug Eddings, umpire, and I get it. If things happen fast, you know, you see a ball, you see a pitcher give it up a home run. Next guy gets hit. It's a bang-bang call. You eject him. It's hard to un-eject a guy once you've ejected him. It was a don't-do-this call for Doug
Don't
Eddings.
Do this.
It definitely was. Paul found some audio. This is really good. So the Summer League going on right now in Vegas. And it's just, like, you love to hear your two favorite announcers, you know, just kind of shooting the breeze, having fun.
Don and Mudd are calling Summer League games?
I wish. I may watch then if Don and Mudd were calling them. Who were these two guys, Paulie? Do you remember these guys off the top of your head?
Yeah, Jorge Sedano and Dan Dakich. So Summer League wrapped up yesterday, I believe, was the championship. But this was a couple of days ago. These guys, just imagine watching a basketball game and not hearing play-by-play, I guess.
Well, not hearing really any basketball.
By the way, I spelled Jorge, but I think he goes by George Sedano.
Oh, okay. There you go. If you want to. George Sedano.
I think Pat Riley's attractive. Sure. You know, I think Pat Riley's a guy that you say, well, you know what? He can help my career.
Yeah, Eric Spoelstra, too, man. Eric Spoelstra is one of the top two or three coaches in this league.
Wait a second.
Oh, that's not even debatable, Doc.
Oh, that is so debatable. You can say it as sternly as you want. That's not debatable. Okay. And I'm
give me Brad Stevens.
You know, no, not five. You said two or
okay,
three.
Okay, give me two or three more.
Popovich, Brad Stevens.
Popovich, I'll give you. I'm not giving you Brad Stevens yet.
I'm giving you Brad Stevens. Well, I'll give you Nate McMillan. I'll give you a ton of guys.
Brad Stevens, where's the championships then?
Where's Spoelstra been since LeBron left?
Oh, well, he's been deep in the playoffs.
So has Brad Stevens. Oh, he went to the finals without Kyrie Irving.
But it's not like everybody wins with LeBron, right?
Seemingly.
No, come on. Look at all the coaches he's had. That's not true.
That's so true.
No, that's it.
We mean win with.
What? I'm not trying to.
If you're going to tell me Eric Spoelstra is one of the two or three coaches, that's not debatable. I would just simply say you're out of your mind.
Okay, then I'm
out
of my
mind.
I don't
think he's in the top 10.
Oh, now you're out of your mind.
No, I'm not. He's just a guy. He's a nice
coach.
He's
just a guy? That's ridiculous. No, that's absurd.
That is not
a two-time champion. You're not just a guy.
Yes, you are. When you have LeBron and what have we done since LeBron?
Then you would have said that about Pat Riley after he'd left the Lakers because he didn't win for a long time until 2006 after that.
You can make a point however you want to make it.
Oh, God. We're doing a radio show here, you and me, I feel like. I should come on your show or you should come on mine.
Yeah, let's do it.
I mean,
I thought that was great.
I think it's very uncomfortable. Not once did you hear anything about, all right, inbound pass from Joe Blow over to, you know.
It's a summer league game.
Over 90 seconds. Can you imagine?
90 seconds of that.
Can you imagine Mud and Don, you like hear the crack of the bat and they're just
and they're still going. Yeah, about the best ice cream or
something.
Now,
if it was a regular season game, okay, that maybe it's over the top. It's a summer league game.
I get it.
Talk about what you want.
I get it.
By the way, did they not mention Steve Kerr as one of the best coaches in the NBA?
Are we arguing about this now?
Did they just ignore Steve Kerr?
Yes. They
just
did.
totally ignored Steve Kerr.
For Eric Spoelstra, by the way. That is Don't Do This. And there's our close that also says, that is Don't Do This.
That was Ben Reed's Raps on 93 The Fan.
That was priceless.
I'm just going to own that one.
Day one, Paul, so running solo.
Day two.
All the audio on the show.
That actually worked better.
All right, well.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
That was genius.
Up next.
so many different closes.
Kevin Charity from MattFryers.com is going
to
be with us.
Next to each other.
Mackenzie Gore got his promotion. How did he do in his first start over the weekend with Double A Amarillo? We will check in with Kevin Charity, although who knows what kind of open we'll play to it. That is coming up next with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Ben Woods with you. Going to talk some Padres in the minor leagues. Kevin Charity from MattFryers.com, including Mackenzie Gore's Double-A debut with the Amarillo Sod Poodles. How far is he away from possibly making his debut at the big league level?
Next Wednesday.
It seems a little early.
All right.
But not totally impossible? I don't know. All right. I know as it should be, the Major League team, Woods, has gotten more of the focus this year because, well, they've deserved more of the focus. It doesn't mean we've forgotten, though, about the Padres that are still coming up in the minor leagues. You talk to people in other organizations, they will still tell you, man, the Padres are loaded in the minor leagues. And joining us to keep us up to date on our SDCCU fan hotline on everything going on in AAA and below for the Padres, Kevin Charity from Matt Friars is with us here. Kevin, good morning to you.
Good morning to you guys. How's it going?
Doing good, buddy.
The big story, I think, over the weekend was Mackenzie Gore got his promotion and made his debut for the Double-A Amarillo Sod Poodles. How did his first start go at the Double-A level?
It went pretty well. It's interesting. We had a Marcus, who writes for our site, out there, actually covered it. And he didn't really have his best stuff. He was really, even after the game, their pitching coordinator described it as the C stuff. But when you look at the overall line, he went 5 1/3 innings, a shutout baseball. you know, only gave up two hits. The big difference that you kind of saw is that he wasn't missing as many bats as you would expect. You know, he only had four strikeouts in 5 1/3 innings, but I think all in all, he still pitched really well. You know, his fastball command looked pretty good. You know, he kind of ran out of gas a little bit the last couple innings. His velocity dropped, which is, you know, maybe a little bit of a concern. It could be fatigue. This could be, you know, maybe the adrenaline wearing off of getting that first start. But all in all, I mean, again, you know, that the start lowered his season ERA under one. So there's not really a lot that you can complain about.
Yeah, I mean, I watched, I saw a little bit of a video. I saw the pickoff, which was awesome. I mean, he looks, he's got a lot of poise for such a young kid. And obviously the every stage he goes to, that level's, you know, it's not too big for him. It reminds me a lot of Tatis Jr. You know, he just kind of looked like he belonged in the big leagues from the day he got there. And I think we'll see Mackenzie Gore sooner than later up here with the big club. You know, they're obviously going to be careful with his development, though, aren't they, Kevin?
Yeah, and I think the thing that you also have to look at, too, is he's already exceeded his innings from last year. So it's really difficult to know how much longer they're going to let him go. I mean, typically you're not going to let a guy, you know, double his innings. He's thrown, you know, 84 1/3 innings this year after throwing 60 last year. So, you know, they could dip a turn of the rotation. I think a lot of people have kind of, if the Padres are still in contention in September, have kind of clamored for him to be brought up. And I just don't see that as a possibility just because of that innings count. But yeah, I think they'll be creative, and I think they'll just kind of let him do his thing. And, at the end of the day, I think it's more about his development versus seeing if he's ready for the big leagues, you know, this year.
Yeah, for sure. I fully don't expect him this year, but, you know, it'd be nice to have him competing early next season. I had to ask you about a tweet you sent over the weekend that, you know, really caught my eye. It said, you went through rosters and the Padres have over 40 players eligible for the Rule 5 draft this winter. It only gets crazier in 2020 when most of their J2 class from 2016 has to be protected. Now, for those of you that don't know how the Rule 5 draft works, Kevin, break it down just very simply how the Rule 5 works.
So typically it's guys, if you sign, I think before you're the 18, you have basically 4 years before you have to be protected. And if you sign as like a college player, it's 3 years. So when you look at some of the guys that they signed, like, for example, I think some of the big names that you're going to see eligible for this year's draft are like Buddy Reed,
yep,
who was a college player back in 2016, who's had kind of a, you know, a mixed season. You know, he's shown potential, but, you know, his road and home splits are pretty ghastly. You know, even like a guy like Jorge Onya, who you paid, you know, essentially $14 million for, is, you know, we found out is out for the season. He had some shoulder surgery after mashing for about the first month in Amarillo. So, you know, he doesn't seem like the guy that's you know, typically profiled to go in the Rule 5 just because he's pretty limited to a corner. So it's hard to say. But, I mean, there's a lot of other guys, too. I mean, I think there's a lot of pitchers, you know, guys like Eustury Ruiz, who they got in that Matt Strom trade. So, I mean, and then next year, you know, you're going to have, you know, like guys like Jason Rosario, Gabriel Arias, guys who have shown potential but aren't necessarily putting up huge numbers. So, and even if you look at their 40-man now, you have guys like Oliveras and Torrens, Luis Torrens, who may be a little bit redundant just based on the depth they have in the outfield and behind the plate. So I think they're almost going to have to make a couple of trades just to kind of consolidate some of these guys.
Yeah, because you can't keep everybody.
Yeah, the
right?
logical conclusion, and I think you just alluded to it there, Kevin, is that you need to make like a 3-for-1 trade. And even if you don't feel like you're getting full value, you know, you trade a couple of minor league prospects for a bullpen arm to help you out. If you were just going to lose those guys anyway, possibly in the Rule 5 draft, better to get something for them now than nothing for them later.
Absolutely. I think, you know, there's enough guys on this list that are tantalizing other organizations. Even if you look at a guy like Eggy Rosario, who I don't think I've seen him on any top 30 prospects, but he's an infielder at Elsinore, 19 years old, can play all around the infield, has a good arm, can hit a little bit. I think that guy in a lot of systems is a top 15 or 20 guy in that system. So I think, you know, should the Padres want to make kind of a, you know, I don't think it'd be a major splash, but if they're going out and let's say, hey, we're still in this thing, we need a bullpen arm, a couple of guys like that, I think, you know, a team that's rebuilding would be, okay, like, these guys are decent enough, like, you know, this can get a deal done. So I think those are some of the things to watch, and I think you'll see more of that in the offseason because, like you said, they can't keep all these guys. They have, you know, they can only, you know, put 40 men on the roster. So it's interesting what they do.
Kevin, speaking of bullpen guys, I want to talk about someone who recently graduated from the minor league system. Saw him over the weekend. That's Andrés Muñoz. Certainly intriguing given his velocity. He already had like 8 of the 10 hardest thrown pitches by a Padres player this season, yeah, or something like that. What was his backstory, and how did he get to now being in San Diego today?
Another guy that sent out of Mexico. He's been kind of tested. He's had some arm injuries in the past, but I think this year he went to Amarillo and just absolutely dominated. Like you said, not a lot of guys are going to touch a fastball that sits at 102. He's hit 104. He's really improved the slider this year, which I think has been the biggest reason why he saw him kind of move pretty quickly. He's straight bullpen arm all the way, but a really interesting guy. There's not many guys in the minor leagues or the major leagues for that matter that can throw that hard. I think at 20 years old, he's been in the system for a while and has kind of steadily moved up. Was an Elsinore for a little bit last year. And, again, when you have a guy that can just get out there and sit at 100 miles an hour, it's going to open eyes. They have a few guys like that in the system, but he's been the one that I think has the most electric stuff out of any guy that's thrown out of the bullpen in the system in several years.
I was at his debut on Friday night, and it's electric is the right word for it. And you wonder, he is bullpen arm only. Is he a guy that you could look at as the closer of the future for this team? He's two pitch guy, fastball slider, but when your fastball's coming in at 101, 102, and been clocked as high as 104 in the minor leagues, I'm good running him out there in the ninth.
Yeah, I think absolutely he could close. I think the development of the slider and how that progresses is going to be really the key. He threw a couple of really good ones in his debut that I saw. But when you throw that hard and, he can locate it to the corners, the thing that's a little concerning is just because he's 20, is he's still a little wild. The command isn't really, all the way there yet. But I think if he can kind of continue to get better at that, I think, come 2021 or even next year, if Kirby gets dealt, you're going to see him, kind of jump in that fray with a lot of other arms that they have that I think could fill that role.
Kevin, we talked to Keith Law last week about his midseason top 50. He had 5 Padres up there, and another one, Adrian Morejon, right out of the top 50. The surprising name for me was that C.J. Abrams, the Padres' most recent draft pick, was already there. I missed it over the weekend. Has he gotten a game without a hit yet, or is he still riding his hot start to the season in rookie ball?
So he had a 20-game hitting streak going in last night, and it ended.
Oh.
Ironically, the Padres have 2 Arizona League teams, so they play together in a kind of weird, bizarre inter-squad game that counts in the standings and counts for stats. So it actually took Padres prospects to have him go 0-for-4 and not get a hit. But he's still, even with that, he's still hitting about .440, stealing bases. He'll get on base, still second, still third. He's got 11 steals. He's hit for some power, not necessarily home run power, but he's been finding gaps. So I think he's been just another guy that you can add to the list of middle infield prospects they have. He's made, I think, 6 or 7 errors in like 17 or 18 games.
Well, they fit right in then.
For me, I was kind of hoping that he would be able to move in the center field because that's the probably the spot in the organization where there's just not a lot of depth. So maybe that makes it easier. But I think all the reports that we've heard and everything, there's some people out in the desert. He's been as good as advertised, if not better, with his hit tool.
Well, I was just going to ask you, that was kind of the question I was going to ask is, they're playing him at what, short every single game?
Yeah, he's been playing it short. I don't think that he's played at second yet. He's kind of moved around. I think he may have a little bit, but he's a guy that when they drafted him, there was some talk about him just going to center field, and that's ultimately, I talked to Carlos Calaza, who writes for Baseball America, and he put like a 60-40 on it. He ends up in center field. I think they're just going to give him every opportunity to play, the middle infield until he proves he can't. But I think with his speed and with the fact that, he may develop, 10 to 15 home run power with, an elite hit tool and, legitimate 80 grade speed. Having him in center field, chasing down fly balls is going to, look really good at Petco Park. That's ultimately where I think he's going to end up just based on what I've heard. But I think the organization just, hey, it's a guy that could play short. Let him play there until he can't.
Well, Kevin, certainly appreciate it. As always, we'll catch up with you again in a couple of weeks and see how guys are finishing up their season. The minor league season, ends pretty much at the end of August, right? So we only got like a month and a half left.
Yeah, the official of the regular season ends on Labor Day every year. So, we're getting close.
Yeah, we're getting a little bit closer. Kevin, thank you very much.
Yeah, of course.
Thanks, Casey.
All right, Kevin Charity from Matt Friars on our SDCCU fan hotline. SDCCU has low rates, zero closing costs on select mortgage loans, equal housing opportunity subject to approval. Refinance or apply for a mortgage loan today at sdccu.com. Just another one to add to the list, C.J. Abrams. I mean, a long
way off.
Somebody
to get excited about. Yeah, it's a long way off. And I think that does make sense. I mean, you want him comfortable as he's learning, you know, to hit, be a professional hitter and a professional player. But I do think eventually, you know, look, we don't think there's going to be a hole at short for a while.
Yeah.
But second base, Urias still not up. I mean, it's driving people crazy at this point. I'm seeing people lose their minds because Luis has not been called up yet.
Would it bother you a little bit if you were a top prospect in an organization where it felt like your preferred position was just taken, like for the long term?
It's so funny you asked that question because I was talking to my buddy Boggsy that was drafted with the Rockies, right? And he goes to spring training for his very first spring training, and they said they watched him run, and they go, "Oh, cool, you're a switch hitter now." Him and Dexter Fowler, they came up together, and they're like, "Cool, you guys are switch hitters." And we've never switch hit, and they're like, "Doesn't matter, you both can run, you're switch hitters." That's terrifying. Like, as you're a professional ball player, that's what you do for a living now, and then the day you get there, yeah, they had him in center. I think he played some third at some point, and like, it just... I remember trying,
and I always hit right-handed in baseball, and I remember like when I was 13, you know, seeing if I could do it left-handed. My dad would lob a few in there, and I would take some awkward swings. I can make contact. I can't imagine when the pitchers are now, you know, gunning it up at 95.
Yeah.
Now go up in the opposite side that you're used to hitting.
Learn to switch hit.
And learn now.
Because you're fast, because you don't have tremendous size, you are going to be a speed guy. So that means you need to learn to hit from the left side as well. And he's done it in a couple games with us, and he's actually gotten a couple of knocks, but he's an athlete. I'm not. So if I was drafted as a third baseman, that's where I would want to play. So, yeah, I think it would bug me.
But C.J. Abrams is obviously he's a shortstop, though, and the Padres have a shortstop, if you haven't heard. And the word is starting to get around. I know we were upset about a certain MLB Network crew that left Tatis and Machado off their list of top three left sides of the infield in Major League Baseball. We talked about that earlier. There was another member of the MLB Network crew, though, who most certainly did not forget Fernando Tatis Jr. Take a listen from MLB Network here to Eric Burns, and just enjoy the not only the praise, but the depth, I would say, of the praise and how long he actually can go on singing the praises of Fernando Tatis Jr.
Fernando Tatis Jr. is the star of my movie. Look at this dude. What was he wearing the other day?
RoboCop.
What were those goggles? Watch what he pulls off. This dude sees the game differently than anybody else. Why? Because you can pull off Matrix sort of stuff like this. You guys have to understand, we have not seen somebody like this in the game, maybe ever. What he's been doing and what I'm about to show you would be like a career of highlights of base running genius.
He's just getting warmed up.
This has all happened this year. Look at his vision, the way he has these instincts for the game. Everyone says instincts? How about just paying attention to what's going on? Looking for intricacies to take advantage of all situations at all times. This one in San Francisco, I was at this game. I watched this live, and I'm like, dude, what is happening? He's trying to go home right here? Are you joking? Watch this, and the way he can tell, the pitcher turns his back. Immediately, he notices this. So what does he do? He's not waiting for a third base coach to tell him. He's not waiting to get instruction. He's simply moving. This one right here in Coors Field, you ready for this? No. See ya! This is right in his face! He basically played chicken with the pitcher, stared him into the whites of his eyes, and said, "I'm gone." As soon as he sees the back turn, takes off. And, of course, you have to have the athleticism to be able to pull this off. But I think it comes to a point when I saw this. What's the left leg right there of Joe Panic? And I that's not even close.
It wasn't close at all.
It's not close. So this, in my opinion, this is what he reads. He reads that left leg. Boom. He knows he's out of position. He's like, I'm going. I can tell he's not in the right position, falling or whatever. And then this one that happened in Pittsburgh.
I mean.
This is a creme de la creme. This is it. I mean, watch the stutter step, though. We're going to go back to this. This is one of the most fantastic things I've ever seen on a baseball field in my entire life.
Wait for the comparison he's about to make.
How about Renfro?
He gets an RBI.
He gets a steak sandwich for this. Ready? He stares at him again, gives him the stutter step like he's going to stop, and then says, uh-uh, I'm gone, right in his face. This is the best player since Mike Trout. We have not seen another player that's as good as Fernando Tatis Jr. since Mike Trout.
Wow.
And I understand we're making a big deal about Vlad Jr.
Base running specifically.
No.
Which is very entertaining, by the way.
100% not. I'm talking all-around player. And we celebrate Mike Trout as being the greatest that we've seen in the MLB Network era. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any question about that.
Right.
Cody Bellinger's obviously putting together a heck of a season. To be able to do this for an extended period of time is what's going to ultimately figure out, you know, whether or not Tatis Jr. becomes a Hall of Famer.
Is he better than Javi Baez?
He has the skills he has the instincts that Javi Baez has with better skills.
At 20.
Think about that.
At 20.
That's the second time now that we've heard the Mike Trout comparison with Fernando Tatis Jr. Who was it the first time that caught us off guard with that one, Woodsy? Oh, I can't remember.
Was it Kyle Glazer?
Yeah, I think it was Kyle Glazer from Baseball America. You thought it was an A-Rod comparison coming up, and instead it was...
Me and my big mouth. I go, A-Rod!
Rookie numbers...
That was Ben Ryder.
Ben Ryder. That's right, Sports Illustrated. The rookie numbers were so similar to, and he said, Mike Trout. Mike Trout's rookie numbers is what Fernando Tatis Jr.'s rookie statistics look like.
This is the best player since Mike Trout. We have not seen another player that's as good as Fernando Tatis Jr. since Mike Trout. And I understand we're making a big deal about Vlad Jr.
Base running specifically.
No.
Which is very entertaining, by the way.
100% not. I'm talking all-around player.
Wow, man. I love that.
I enjoyed the enthusiasm of Eric Burns.
I do, too, very
much. Going to drop a few California dudes in on you, but that's just his style.
No. See ya!
He's a great follow on Twitter. The guy is just, he's phenomenal, man. He's always, I loved him when he played for the A's. Hair on fire. He's that guy that if you gave him Tatis' talent, he would have been a Hall of Famer because he has that same kind of mentality. He went out there to win every single game. Love that dude. Love him more now. Love the comparison. Believe in the comparison. You know, Bellinger's going to get a lot more love because, well, he plays in L.A. and he hits a lot of home runs. Tatis got 14 bombs as a rookie, 20-year-old. The home runs for him will come. I mean, they will come. He's a potential 35, 40 home run guy at some point in his career.
Woodsy, we keep hearing the rumors that Franmil Reyes or Hunter Renfro, one of them is going to go in a trade. Which one, though,
God,
would you pick to keep? Which one would you pick to trade? What do you think you can get? Our phone lines are open.
I got reasons to keep both, and I got reasons to trade both.
833-288-0973. Ben and Woods back. Our final hour. Next on 97.3 The Fan.
From executive producer Jimmy Kimmel.
What's up, team? Just two people can't launch a brand. It takes a village.
We are MMD Hollywood.
Wowee.
Which stands for medical marijuana.
Due to restrictions, we can't tell you everything about our new reality series. But what we can say is the idea behind it is fully baked. High hopes. Streaming 420 on Hulu.